Hey, thank you there. Amen. You know what his last name is? Contrary. Because he's a prayer warrior. Contrary to what the world says, because the world says, hey, don't pray. Don't believe in God. What does he say? You bet I do. We believe in God, don't we? So what are we going to do? Somebody prayed for me. They got down on their knees. I'm so glad they prayed. I'm so glad they prayed for me. They got down on their knees and they prayed for me. My sister prayed for me. I'm so glad my sister prayed for me. She got down on her knees. She can't do it, but she thought she did, but she's still what? Praying. I'm so glad she prayed for me. My brother prayed for me. I'm so glad he prayed for me. He got down on his knees and he prayed for me. The church prayed for me. I'm so thankful the church prayed for me. They got down on their knees and they prayed for me. The joy of prayer. Grab a hand. Let's talk to God. God, thank you for teaching us to pray. And God, we're sometimes like the disciples. We're worrying about the French fries. We're worrying about the ketchup and the mustard and the mayo. And if they got the wrong order, then we let them know. God, we want to be different. We want to be different like your son was. We want to be different where we get to represent. And as our brother led us in a song and we sang that song to ring out the message. God, give us the courage to ring out the message. Thank you for this family. And God, that the message that we get to ring out will touch a heart and a soul today. Thank you for forgiveness. Thank you for Calvary. In Jesus' name, amen. I probably already told you this, that the reason why I said I'm thankful you give to Colorado Christian, that's where Blondie and I bought our son, and we bought our daughter. Some of you guys just, you don't buy anybody, and you have 14 kids. We had to go buy our youngins, but we got to choose who we wanted. You didn't get to choose who you just said, well, I guess we're going to have to take them home with us. But the joy and the blessing of being a parent, isn't it? Sometimes it's struggle, sometimes it's a heartache. And sometimes it's tough, isn't it? I visited with Grandma the other day, and Grandma said, I'm going to call the police on my granddaughter because Grandma's raising a granddaughter ever since she's 4 years old. Now she's 12, and she's been stealing from her. And she said, I don't know what to do, and so I'm going to have the popo show up at school, and I'm going to have them come and handcuff her and haul her off. She said, I can't live like this, Ron. And that's just one family that needs the Lord. Of a daughter that's struggling because she's full of anger because where's mom and where's dad? Because she knows where mom and dad are because mom and dad don't care for her and grandma really doesn't want her around. And so she's going to get acquainted with the DHS system and she's going to be like the clown and darling that I met that we met in our parking lot there at Contact and they came and asked me, said, hey, and they introduced themselves to me and they said, hey, it's all right if we sleep out here in your parking lot. And they had a 1950. It was an old one. One of the original vans had come out, and he's about 6'5", and she's about that tall. And they're sleeping in that van. Said, hey, it's all right if we sleep out here in the parking lot. You bet, get after it. And during the day, and they'd wake up, son wake them up, and they'd get off, and they'd take off. And then they'd come back the next evening, and they said, man, thanks for letting us stay in your parking lot because we took off because we didn't want the popo to come around and ask us what we was doing there because they just come off of meth. He started doing meth at age 36. I said, why'd you start? He said, I don't know. He was raised in the penal system. He was raised in the court system, DHS, 13 different foster homes. And he said, Ron, I want to tell you, they were, and he said, I can't repeat what he said. His wife, they got married, she was raised the same way in the court system because his mom was on the needle, had nothing to do with her family. Said, I remember when I was this tall, I was about 5 or 6 years old, and the popo shows up and he said, would you take us to your mom? I said, well, I didn't have any idea what they wanted to see my mom for. And so I said, come on. And they walked back here in the pasture, and he said, I was walking through marijuana, and I didn't know what, walking through marijuana, and finally found my mom. She's back there. She'd been growing marijuana all this time because that was her mission. One day they showed up at church on Sunday morning at Contact, and his mom showed up at the same time, and they look at one another. What are you doing here? That's the kind of home he was raised in. And now he's trying to be a dad because he said, I went to McAllister to visit my dad who was in prison. And I told my dad when I was leaving, he said, Dad, I love you. You know what he told me? He said, Ron, I lied. I didn't love my dad. He's buried down there at Stringtown or whatever that town is beside McAllister. He said, I ain't love my dad. My dad was never there for me. My dad never hugged me. My dad never touched me. My dad didn't care about me. My mom didn't love me. And that was kind of, he said, I don't know how to be a dad, but I'm trying to learn how to be a dad. Trying to learn how to be a dad. You know what I've taken for granted all my life? Of my mom and dad being at home, and when I'd come home after the curfew, and curfew's there, and I'd come home and I'd break the curfew, and I'd get in trouble, and I was disrespectful to my mom, and my dad heard me being disrespectful to my mom, to his wife, and he laid the coals to my backside. Did I need it? I'm 87 years old now, and I remember it. I lied about my age, but I still remember it, don't I? I still remember walking to that kitchen and pulling out that drawer where that belt was rolled up, going there and getting that belt and handed it to him because I knew what he was going to do with that belt. And he used it, and I needed it. Now we can't look at anybody or the popo's going to come and get us. Went to see one of my buddies who just got out of prison because he didn't know anything about his dad. Because I met these kids at the elementary school and they went about the first grade, kindergarten, first grade, second grade, fifth grade, and fifth grader was, and we were playing soccer. And before we were playing soccer, I said, how come you guys don't play any soccer? Got this big old field out here. Can't play without an adult. I said, go get the soccer ball. I've got a little bit of competition in my bones. I said, go get the soccer ball. I got the soccer ball. I didn't have a goalie down here. And here comes this big old strapping boy, and he's got the ball, and he's heading that way. And the only way I can stop him is to trip him. So I tripped him. Because he's going for the what? He's going for the goal. He's going to score. I can't let him score. A week or so later, I go to the hood. And I pull in the driveway, and I see that same kid that I tripped. He's standing in front of his apartment, and he raises his old head just like a viper snake. Raises his old head, you know, all cocky. And he runs in the house. And he says, Mom, they tell me this story later. I said, Mom, there's that old man that I met that tripped me on the soccer field. I want to go to his church. Where'd church come from? I didn't say anything about the church. You hear ringing out the message and started on a soccer field. And I got to meet, and that oldest boy had been to prison, and the number two's been to prison, and the number three son's been to prison, and the fourth one is a girl. She hadn't been to prison. She got a car the other day. She got her driver's license. She's driving. She's got a job. I said, what's the skinny with that? And she drove to church. I said, what's the deal? And she told Blondie, she said, Miss Judy, Miss Blondie, I'll never get pregnant like everybody else is. It's what happened. She's got a little two-year-old running around because that's where she lives, and she gets caught up in the hood, and then say, what happened? And it happens that fast, doesn't it? But she's still walking. Number five, son, got drafted by the D1 school, Southern Methodist University, because he's a Hoss basketball player. He's a freshman. He's the first one out of that family to finish their education. And then there's a number, however many, I can't count. Not very good in higher mathematics. Number 7 and number 8. And they're still going to church. And Mom still going to church. And I remember when I went around the horn, I'm studying with Mom for the first time, because remember I pulled up and old dad, I mean the number one son, said, there's that old man that tripped me. And I get to study with Mom and the rest of the kids. And I go around the horn, and there were 6 women in there, every one of them single moms. And I point to one of them, I said, if you died today, where would you spend eternity? And he said, "Mr. Ron, I'd go to heaven today." I asked number two lady. She said, "Man, I'd go to heaven today." Number three, number four, and I come over here to number five. Four of them said, "Man, I'd go to heaven today, Mr. Ron." And the only one honest in that group said, "Mr. Ron, I'd go to hell." She's the one still coming to church. Still coming to church. Because she knows what she needs to do. That doesn't mean she's doing it. Remember what that cat read? Matthew chapter 5, verse 3. "Blessed are the poor in spirit." You know, because how many times we've had that pride about us and not that, you know, it said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit," not that arrogant pride, not that cockiness and that arrogance about you, but "Blessed are the poor in spirit." And the next line says, "For theirs is the kingdom of heaven." The kingdom of heaven. And then he says at the bottom, "Blessed are those who insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of who?" Because of me. And then in verse about 21, 20, somewhere in there. "But I tell you, unless your righteousness," you hear that word? "Unless your righteousness," that right living, "surpasses that of the Pharisees." Who are the Pharisees? They're the puffed up ones, the prideful ones, the ones that said, "Hey, I got it together." They're the ones that are rude and they're the ones that are arrogant. They say, "Hey, get on that side of the track. You don't need to go over and help those people." But he says, "Blessed are those whose righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees, and the teachers of the law will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven." I'm standing there in the hood. Before I'm standing there in the hood, we pull up, and the cat that I'm going after, one of those guys that's in prison, remember the family of the clown that I tripped? Well, his younger brother, he's already been to prison. His other brother went to prison, and the number one son went to prison, and the last one got out, so I'm going to knock on the door because I find him. He sees us pull up, and he goes in the house. I said, "What's the skinny? He's going in the house. He must see. He doesn't want us to talk to him." Then he comes out, and he's got five buddies out there. Pretty soon in the conversation, one of the clowns looks at me and my buddy and says, "You guys are different." I said, "What do you mean different?" You know what he said? "Look where you're standing." You know what he said? You know what he meant by that? Nobody comes out here. They don't come out here where you're standing. Ain't nobody comes out here. And so what do we get to do before I left? Bible class, what did I do before we left? Prayed and read the Word, read the Bible. Will I see those guys again? I don't know, but I know I'm going to hunt up Eyeball. I'm going to hunt up Eyeball. Eyeball was in prison down to Hodgins, which is south of Poto. Salisaw, go straight south, and you'll run into a town called Poto. Keep on going south, and it'll be a place down there called Hodgins. He was in prison there, and I know the RN, the nurse down there, and I called him. I said, "Hey, Tim, I want you to go see Eyeball." He said, "Eyeball?" I said, "Go see Eyeball." Eyeball is tired of the jail system. He's tired of the prison system. He said, "I'm going to change my life. I want to get out of here." So my buddy Tim calls. He said, "Hey, I want Eyeball to come to my office." Oh, Eyeball said, why do they want to see me? Because Eyeball's doing everything he's supposed to, and he's not going to get in trouble. He's not going to run around those gang members. He's not doing anything. He's doing everything he's supposed to. He was in the kitchen working, doing everything he's supposed to. And he couldn't believe they called him in. He walks in, and the first thing Tim says, "How you doing, Eyeball?" Man, Eyeball started grinning. You know where the name come from? Contact Church of Christ. Because that's what I call him. He said, "Man, there's some people in Tulsa love your bones." What does he need? The same thing we need. Encouragement. The smile, the touch, the kind word, and say, "Man, I'm praying." I can't tell you how many times I stood at the back door where people live in, or that door, and people come by and said, "Ron, would you pray for me?" You know what I've done? And I'm ashamed to tell you. And they ask me to pray. 47 people walked by me, and they'd asked me to pray because of a situation going on, and somebody prayed, somebody's surgery, and I never wrote a name down. And how many times can I remember that name? And how many times can I remember the prayer request that that sister asked or that brother asked or that kid asked or somebody asked, and I didn't write the name down and said, would you pray? Why did they ask me to pray? And then I didn't even pray. I didn't know what to pray. I didn't know who to pray for when they asked me. Because I didn't take the time to write the name down. Because a pen doesn't forget, but this does and did. Somebody prayed for me, and they had me on their mind, and they got down on their knees, and they prayed. I'm so glad they prayed for me. Let me tell you a story about that Pharisee. Remember the Pharisee's rude? He's unkind. He's ugly. And Jesus comes along, and the Pharisee is named Simon, and he invites Jesus over to his house. And I love his story. He invites Jesus over to his house, and Jesus goes to his house, and guess who walks in? The local town harlot. What's a harlot? What's a prostitute? My buddy lived an hour from Tulsa. He's a deacon in the church. He lives an hour from Tulsa, and all of a sudden his wife is having some health complications, and so she goes to the vet to find out, the doctor, find out what's going on. And the doctor says, you've got a sexually transmitted disease. I've been married 35 years, and all of a sudden, how did I get a sexually transmitted disease? And she drives back home. And she's grabbing that steering wheel, and I mean that steering wheel has handprints like never before. And soon as she gets in the house, and she says, hey, Slick, we need to talk. You know what he says? He denies it because he had, and he finally, she kept pumping, and finally he admitted, well, I just did it one time as he drove 1 hour to Tulsa to pay how much for a town harlot, prostitute. I just did it one time. And then he transferred that sin to his 35 years of committed, faithful wife and said, I just did it one time. Found out he'd done it twice. Fast forward. I'm standing up here in a pulpit at a church, and they got a big old casket sitting right here. That clown is in a casket. What am I thinking? Because I'm looking at that widow. You know what he told her? He said, don't tell the kids. And I'm looking at her, and I look at those kids, and I look at those grandkids, and I look at those family members, and I'm thinking, me and that old woman, and God knows his sin. Don't tell the kids. I only did it once. And she's still carrying. I only did it once. That's the town harlot who showed up in the story that I'm sharing. And she comes to Jesus, and she's raining tears on his feet. What do his feet look like? What's he wearing? Sandals. What do they look like? What do his feet look like? They don't have the paved highway we have, and what do his feet look like? And I mean, she's raining tears. What kind of tears are there? Because she's a town harlot, and what does everybody look at her every time they see her? Hey, there she goes, and they call her by name, and there's somebody right there on that front pew that's already been in bed with her the night before, because we remember that about Hosea, don't we? And Hosea bid the money for his bride, and that woman's raining those tears down on his feet. Because she knows she's a sinner. And she knows he's the only one, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is the only one who can forgive her of her sins. And she's raining those tears. And then she wipes his feet with what? Her hair. She's got the best of perfume, and then she pours a perfume on his feet, and she comforts him, and she rubs those feet. And what does that Pharisee say? And the Pharisee says, you know, if he claimed to be the prophet, he ought to know who that is. You hear the judgmental Pharisee? How many times at contact, and how many times here, or how many times somewhere, and somebody will say, what are they doing here? What are they doing coming down front? What are they praying? I prayed for them last week, and they're still living in sin. They're still drinking. They're still drugging, and they're still living. And that Pharisee says, he should have known. And Jesus says, I'll tell you a story, Hayslick. I'll tell you a story. There's a banker. He's loaned some money to two guys, and one of them owes one year of wages. And the other guy owns 1 month's wages. They come to the banker, and they say, and the banker says, hey, you're forgiven. You don't owe me any money. And then Jesus says, which one is forgiven the most? The guy who owed 1 month or the guy who owed 1 year? Which one's forgiven the most? Then he goes on and says, hey, I'll tell you something, Slick. There was a woman that came in here, and she rained tears on my feet, and she massaged my feet, she washed my feet, and she gave me the best of perfume, and what'd you do? Who is forgiven? Because Jesus told that gal, said, go and sin. Your sins are what? What's the word? Forgiven. Man, we love that word, don't we? You're forgiven. 3 points, and we'll go to the house. Number one, pride paralyzes. Pride paralyzes. We had a car wreck, had a van wreck. We've taken 50, 60 of us go to Camp Moe, which is Missouri. Go to Springfield, go 2 hours southeast. We're coming back outside of west side of Springfield, and we have a wreck. And the van's on its side, and my buddy's driver, and there's a gal up here like this, and the van turned. It should have been fatality, but it wasn't. Got all the popo lined up, IMSA, got all this, fire trucks, got everything lined up, and we got 6 vans on the road, and so here's one van stop, and I'm behind it, and I see what's going on. And so everybody else is already ahead of us. 47 cell phones in the vehicles of the kids. So what are the kids doing? They're calling back to Tulsa to a mama or a grandma and tell them 50 people died, everything blew up. You know, they exaggerate, don't they? I exaggerate. So we're going to the hospital, and we're trying to take care of everybody and loading them up in the ambulances and heading, we can't figure out what to do to make a plan to call home and say, hey, we're going to come in late. We haven't got there yet until we get to the hospital to figure out, hey, we need to call some parents. But the kids already called the parents, and so the parents are mad because we didn't call. We get home 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. Everybody's all right. Which God took care of us. Finally get home. Phone's ringing. And the phone's ringing. How come you didn't call me? How come you didn't tell me what's going on? How come you didn't tell me you was in a wreck? How come you didn't tell me my daughter was in there in the emergency room? How come you didn't tell me? I didn't have time to spit. They're mad. I don't want to mess with them. I'm tired. I don't want to mess with them. I'm the one that's down there at the bunkhouse. The bunkhouse is a tent, which is a big top tent, and the kids don't want to go to sleep. And I said, you clowns don't want to go to sleep. You're going to die tomorrow. Well, guess what I do? Remember how old I am? I'm 87. We're out in the country, and I said, all right, guys, let's load up. We're heading down the road. You guys come go with me. So they got on. We headed 5 miles north. 5 miles north. I said, all right, you guys stay with me. So we take off running. You stay with me, you hammerheads. You don't want to go to sleep? We're going to run your guts out. You know what I heard him in the back? How long is this old man going to take us? How far is this old man going to go? Man, I'm about to die. They're 12 years old. We finally make it to the point because I said, man, I got to find out how I'm going to get back to the house. I got to find out where I'm going to get some energy to get back where I want to. Okay, my buddy's wife had died, and so I want to go out there and I want to visit, spend some time with her. And so I bring him to that point of that cemetery because the cemetery is along this gravel road. And every time we stop, we have a spiritual application of what's going on right there. And the next stop is where my buddy's bride is buried. 1946, she was born. What comes after that date, 1946? What's on that tombstone? A dash. That's where we are, isn't it? We're in that dash. But you see, hers had a dash and then another date. I said, you clowns, we're in the dash. But right here at the gate, before we walk into that cemetery, my other buddy was going to feed some cattle, and he comes up that hill, and there's a guy slumped over right there by the gate, and he took his shotgun and stuck it in his mouth, and he ended his life. And every time he comes up that hill, what does he see? He sees that clown who put the rifle in his mouth and took his life. He said, guys, what was his dash? What's your dash? You guys don't want to sleep at night? What's your dash? So we finally make it back to the house. And those guys talk about it. Said, man, that old man took us. And he goes back and tell, they go back and tell all the girls, man, you should have seen where he took us. And I didn't think he's ever going to quit running. I didn't think I was ever going to get. First point, pride paralyzes. Of how that guy was critical, how we're critical. Second point, forgiveness releases. When I've forgiven, then I'm what? Then I'm released. And that's what Jesus said to the lady. And he called her, and a woman who rained tears on her, on his feet. Because what was the Pharisee? What was the old Simon doing? Making fun. What said, what are you doing? If you claim to be the prophet, you should have known who that was. Third point. Number one, pride paralyzes. Number two, forgiveness releases. I'm out raising money to get my support. And a real estate guy said, hey, you need to go talk to this clown. He can write you a check. He's got more money. He can't even spend it all. He can write you a check. He can support you every year. And he won't even miss the money in his bank account. And you know what? When I go introduce myself to him, you know what he tells me? Why are you helping those people? You hear pride, how he's paralyzed? Why did Jesus choose to help me? I'm not worth it. But Jesus saw the forgiveness and he paid the price that I'd be forgiven. And number three, what he told this lady, faith saves. Man, I love it. I love it. Right up there says, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service and the building up, for the equipping and the building up of the body of Christ. Somebody prayed for me. How many times? We said, I'm not going to pray for that guy. I'm not going to pray for them because they sat over there. And I saw them acting up the other day. I saw a grandma come down here a while ago and said, hey, man, you don't need to lay down on the job. Don't lay down in that pew there. I'm thankful for grandma telling them not to lay down on a job. Because you know where I've usually been whenever I was his age? Forget the pew. I'd get out of there and I'd go to sleep. Until my dad came out of the pulpit and came out of the pulpit and grabbed a hold of me. And we went outside. I didn't want to go outside with him. How come I didn't want to go outside with him? Because I knew what he was going to do, this old man or this kid, whenever we was heading outside. Did I need him to grab me and take me outside? I can take you to that church building where it happened. if it's still there. But you see, I had a dad that prayed for me, and this hand, his hand, hit my bohunkus whenever I was out of line, because he wanted me to stand up and tell the Dewey Church of Christ about pride paralyzes and forgiveness releases and faith. What's the word? Saves. And I need that. I need that. Somebody prayed for me. Who provided the hospitality for the lady? Who provided the hospitality for Jesus? I wonder what happened to that lady. What happens to somebody if as a lady walked down this aisle and she's the town harlot and she walks down the aisle, and I'll never forget our buddy, she walked down the aisle, she's a single mom and she's living in sin, and she comes down here and she's crying, and guess what happened after they prayed for her after services? There wasn't a swinging soul come up and talk to her, to love her, to encourage her, and there's a side door there, and she heads out that side door, and she never came back to church. You hear how pride paralyzes. I love it when somebody comes down here and there's 47 people around them. Because forgiveness releases, and faith saves. Let's keep encouraging and keep building up the body of Christ. You're valued. You're needed. If you're not a child of God, make that commitment. Be baptized in Christ and wash those sins away. And what did Jesus tell him? Go and some more. Did he say that? That's why I'm coming back to the cross, saying, God, here I am again. Let's stand and sing.